Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Chilluminati Podcast, episode 220. As always, I am one of your hosts, Mike Martin, joined by the, oh, baby, the Jason Friedberg and Aaron Seltzer of L.A.
That's us.
Jesse and Alex.
That's, you know what? I feel like a Seltzer. I feel like that's who I am.
That's who you are. That's the two of you.
Jason, Aaron, what did you say?
Why'd you look so confused, Jesse?
The way you started this might have been the most broadcastery. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to an all-new episode.
I'm evolving. I'm evolving as a podcaster.
That milk chocolate.
I guess.
A coffee or tea brand deal is in our near future.
I'll take either one. Welcome to the show. It's just the three of us after 2 weeks of guests, one of which Jesse was absent for.
Probably to his own sanity. Can we reveal? Did we already talk about this on the air?
What?
Can we reveal what we want? We want Jesse to do?
I don't know that. I think we did
because it was on Reddit. People were talking about it on Reddit and on our Discord.
Yeah, because that's all I want to do.
A watch along, a listen along, and leave comments as like Jesse reacts for Patreon.
Oh man, I can't wait to listen to that.
I am not looking.
I can't wait to hear you. Like Santel pops off well before I do. It's wild.
He is as a person who deals with him frequently, and I used to deal with lovingly.
He FaceTimed me the other day. I love this man so much already.
I love him to death. He is all in on conspiracy theories. And I just learned this is totally true. I went out to dinner with an old friend who I used to work with way back in the day. And we're sitting around having a conversation. And he's like, did you hear about this alien thing? I was like, yeah, a little bit. And he's like, let me tell you. And he went all in, not just like he's convinced. He started saying things about the pyramids. I was like, dude, I can't. I must surround and attract people who are in the space and are just all in, because I don't know what it is about me personally where I'm like, I had to sit there.
Dude, so the pyramids is like a line for me too. Let's put that fucking out there. Okay. Humans could have easily made the pyramids.
He brought up the question. Hey, those fires in Hawaii, man, how come there were a few homes and that were still fine? Or like, why did the boats catch fire? And I literally had to sit there and explain, like, okay, well, the homes that were fine, they had metal roofs. And you see, the winds were so high that the winds blew the embers onto other houses and those houses burnt down. But if you had a metal roof, you were fine because the metal didn't burn. Same with boats. The wind blew the embers onto the boats and the boats caught fire. And I had to explain this. And he's like, wow,
that's unfortunate.
That checks out. That makes a lot of sense. And I was like, where were you before this?
Yeah. You should have been like, how do you think it happened before that?
Did you learn this from the Miiverse, kid?
But it's one of those things where I absolutely understand if you're in that space, if you're operating in there and you enjoy the conspiracy. A lot of people like it because it's fun, right? It's fun to feel like you're a part of a conspiracy.
Yeah, you can enjoy a conspiracy for it being fun and not believe in it.
Sure. Well, I don't know his level of belief. He was just throwing out questions and I was like, I actually have answers for you.
He was like, wow. Hey, listen, no, you know what? Props to him for being like taking the
convinced
information and imbibing, but like, that's cool. Now I know, as opposed to being
he's not a crazy person. He just enjoys a good conspiracy. Like, you know me,
like I knew what I was doing, bringing Mathis and Santel together. It's like old Marty McFly touching young Marty McFly in the past and setting off a chain reaction. I know what I did.
Mathis starts disappearing.
It was a beautiful chemical reaction.
Yeah. And I think sometimes, you know, And I think this is very in line with the energy that I bring to this panel, that sometimes it's good to just sort of like taste the flavor of what's going on without
taste the rainbow.
Without worrying about facts. And, you know, like you got to just take it. It's like we're reading it.
Jesse, don't laugh at that because it's not like
without worrying about facts.
No. At the very top of that episode, Alex came forward. He's like, in order to have these conversations, we have to take like the geneticist post and other posts like that, just as, you know, pretend they're real, pretend they're just facts. Because
and I'm not saying they are. Yeah. And I'm not saying they are.
For the conversation, for the fun conversation of it all.
We have to ignore all these facts and figures and information and statistics, science, throw it out the window.
Just so you can understand where the thinking is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you can't, you need a window in. And I brought my own conspiracy theory. You know what I mean? I brought my own energy
to it. You also brought a ton of, way more government documents than I thought you would have brought. So I appreciate that.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, it's not crazy to assume that there's something happening, but I think if you only just do your own research, I think you might miss out on the sort of internet meme-y sort of like the zeitgeist of it all. if you know what I mean.
You make a good point. You know, before we let you shill to everybody.
Yeah.
Hey, over on Spotify, you can put up polls and stuff for people. And on that episode, I put up a poll with three options. Let's see what they say. The options were, I said, what do you believe? Yes, they're here. Something's going on. Shrug emoji. Or it's all just human error. You know, pretty wide gaps between them. There's way more sure. nuanced answers. But here's what it broke down to. Only eight. The lowest number is 18.5% of people believe they are here 100%. Like that is the smallest.
That's
number.
Our listenership.
That does say a lot
that's,
about this our is audience.
Our
yeah.
listenership.
Yeah.
The
yeah.
next. The next one is 23.5% believe everything is human error, and in the middle, but at the majority at 58% flat, something is going on.
Team Alex.
Team Alex, which is the right. I think that is the right answer. You know, in terms of sanity. But you can make Jesse believe anything you want, as far as I'm aware.
That's right. And if I put a poll in the show notes for this show asking whether or not I should continue shilling for our Patreon at patreon.com/Tsumanati Pod, I know for sure that the answer would be 100% yes, because everyone out there knows that Tsumanati Pod on Patreon is where you need to go if you like to be here and listen to us do this. And in exchange for just a little support for this show that already comes out for free, we are nice enough to offer a plethora of things in return for you. Wonderful things. Not just a tote, not just one membership tote as some crowdfunding programs do. No. But ad-free episodes, mini-sodes with every episode, access to our brand new show, Rotten Popcorn, which you are actually going to record several Ooh, episodes
speaking,
of very
speaking
soon.
Of, yeah. Yeah. Interruption. Do you see, I think it's either the 24th or the 27th, a new four-part Netflix UFO series is coming Dude. Out, a documentary series.
Okay.
That's a Rotten Popcorn if I ever
gonna
heard one.
That's going to be next month. That's going to be October's, yeah, baby.
That's Spielberg,
be
right?
I do not Somebody know. Did, I just saw I think, a little yeah, blurb I think it today. Might be
Spielberg. He was working on one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm so ready. But go over there, check that out, get Mel's art. Mel's art rules. I never look better online than I do ripping off some bat's head or whatever the fuck I'm doing next in these fucking crazy metal concert posters. So go check them out. It's all great. It's all great. And that's why I know the poll results would be unequivocally in favor of these wonderful shills. At patreon.com/Tsumanati Pod, if you have $10,000 that you want to wipe your butt with and throw in the trash, please send it our way instead. And Jesse will say these words. My name is Jesse Cox. Aliens are real and they're here already. That's what he'll say.
No, I'll believe whatever's a conspiracy.
Wiping your ass with the money might still be a better use of it, but I
don't
still
say that.
It. Oh, sorry. This episode's coming out when the announcement has gone out. We have a live show coming up, everybody. The tickets are officially on sale.
Bam, 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 bam.
Bam, bam, bam. October 15th at the Terragram Ballroom.
That is a weekend date. That's a Sunday night.
It's a Sunday. Yeah. You'll see the announcement everywhere. Again, the tickets for the show will be in the link area, description area below. I guess it's like that in Spotify. Wherever you're on your podcasting, you'll see a link somewhere. Go grab tickets. They usually sell out pretty quick. And it'd be awesome to see you there. Make a little weekend trip to LA.
If you want the hype tip, 2 days before we do a show, my favorite band, Islands, is playing the Terragram Ballroom also. I will definitely be there.
You might be up there on the marquee with them.
Yeah, if that happens, that's my dreams.
You've made it. Everybody here has given Alex his dreams.
Look, I don't want to put that vibe out into the universe, but if you want to have a great weekend, don't stay in downtown LA. Drive there, but get tickets to both shows and have a grand weekend on Friday and on Sunday.
Are you going to do what you always do and pop up a food referral kind of like menu?
Of course I am.
That'll be over at patreon.com yeah. as well.
You can count on it.
All right. Shilling's out of the way. Boys, this is like what I like to consider the Chilluminati palate cleanser kind of episode. It's time for another episode of Cryptids. It's been a little while since we've done some cryptids.
I'm so ready for this. I want to tell you, doing the research the past couple weeks has been heavy duty because of those wrestlers that were killing
that's
people.
Rough.
Yeah, that's rough stuff.
It's not
so
fun.
I'm happy to just talk about some chill beasts.
Yeah, I've got a list of 10 cryptids, as always. And this time, coming from one of my homelands, I guess you would call it, it's the cryptids of Ireland. Okay. We're going to Ireland finally, because we've done some smaller out of the way places the past few times, and I haven't done Ireland, which is surprising. I'm like 50% Irish.
But like, how close are you to your Irish heritage? Like, do you know about like Irish stuff? I don't drink,
so you know, no, I'm not very close to my. I know. It's Whoa. Crazy. It's crazy. Whoa, I don't drink.
That was like, I don't drink or love potatoes.
I do love Damn, potatoes, bro. Love potatoes. Potatoes are one of my favorite foods.
Okay, but do you actually know an Irish person in your life? Is there anybody like from the old country?
No, the last person from Ireland died when I was like 10, I think.
Okay, so, but still, that's pretty close.
Yeah, my great grandmother, who was directly from Italy, literally died last year. Like, oh, she's wow. been, yeah, crazy.
Yeah.
Pretty close Chow connections to that stuff. Yeah, yeah, how about you guys? Are you Irish at all?
I'm not.
Oh, yeah, 100.
Jesse,
yeah.
I mean.
Yeah. That's a lie, not 100.
Okay,
like 50. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I am not. I'm 0%
than I do, though, so. You look
I'm 0% Irish. I am
Cork County, Ireland is where my people are from.
I'm Ooh. The Balkan powder keg mixed with the Cajun spice bomb.
And it made the chillest dude of them all.
Yeah, I smoke a lot of weed, you guys. What can I say?
All right. Well, we're going to start. I tried to find, there's a ton of them over there. And obviously, the big ones like Leprechaun and whatnot, but we're not going to look at those. I chose 10 of the weirdest, most interesting ones, though there are a few that are familiar to, I imagine, a lot of people out here. But we're going to start, and you're going to have to figure out how you're going to rate these. But this is known as the Bougaine. B-U-G-G-A-N-E.
Bougaine.
Bougaine. Hey, feel free to look it up, but I'll read along as we go. This is a Manx legend, and it's a bulky subterranean creature with features akin to those of a mole. It's said to be in bodily appearance similar to a hairy version of a Scandinavian troll with glowing eyes and massive tusks. Bougaines, as magical creatures, they cannot cross running water or tread on hallowed ground. Occasionally, fairies may use Bougaines as a sort of hired muscle. They're like like the mooks of the fairy world, I guess, having them they end up using them to punish people who have offended the fairies.
Like henchmen. So
fairies get offended. They're like, go get a Bougaine, and the Bougaine goes and roughs them up.
OK,
like Balkan Skull or no, Bebop and Rocksteady. Yeah.
Also, yes. Yes.
Yeah. I guess they're both kind of like,
sound true. Yeah.
They're kind of thuggy. Yeah.
There's not a lot of detail known as to like where exactly this all originated. Obviously, you're looking at 16th century, I believe. But one famous example of a Bougaine from a local story is with the Bougaine of St. Trinian's Church. This is one of my when I read this, it made me laugh. So kind of gives you an idea of what the Bougaine are all about. When St. Trinian's Church was being constructed, supposedly a Bougaine decided that if it was fully built, its bells would disturb its sleep, which I'm on the side of the Bougaine
sure.
so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
So as the church finished being built for 3 nights in a row, the Bougaine would go over to the church, climb underneath it or on top of it, and throw the roof off of the church. Just
the whole roof.
The whole roof would just come out and it would just throw the roof for three nights in a row.
There's some kind of joke there about tearing the roof off. I don't know what it is. I don't have it, but you can do the work here.
Yeah, no, we're all there.
It's like an Illumination computer animated movie trailer joke. And you know, you guys can get it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's hilarious. This thing is considered kind of a malevolent goblin or spirit that's malevolent.
Malevolent
goblin or spirit that is said to haunt on the Isle of Man. And it's said to be about, it can be as small as the size of a child with like huge strength.
Ripping the top off a church? How does it even reach?
That Dude, makes it's even
a fairy
better.
Creature. It's a fairy creature. It's a squat like, little like Jesse creature because it also has red hair. It has red hair.
And, oh, I love it.
And a long tail. And it's
Bougaine.
It's said to be very strong and can cause a lot of damage. That's kind of like what's known about
Bougaine
it.
Bougaine sounds like literally like someone from Louisiana's last name.
The earliest known mention of the Bougaine that I could find anyway was in the 16th century, but it's likely that the creature was probably around way longer. The name Bougaine is thought to come from the Manx word Bougani, B-U-G-G-A-N-E-E, so an extra E on there, which simply translates to little devil. So it's like a little fucking shit stirrer, basically.
I love this dude.
I can see people calling their kid in the 16th century a little fucking Bougaine. Yeah. Another story tells of a Bougaine that lived in a cave near a village. and the Buggane would often come out at night just to terrorize the villagers. It would come over and knock over their houses, steal their food, and even just attack people at random. Just like,
it's like, as you do.
Yeah, exactly. One day, a group of villagers decided to get rid of the Buggane, so they built a fire in the cave and waited for the creature to come out. When the Buggane saw the fire, it was so scared that it ran away and never came back.
It's like a Baby Yoda type scenario. No, more like the Nibbler.
The Nibbler. So
fire is its, like, weakness then?
Yeah, I guess.
It can rip roofs off. So hold on. Wait, this is going back to Alex. So if the roof, the roof was on fire, yeah, he couldn't have affected it anyway.
No, he'd just have to watch that motherfucker burn.
Right.
He wouldn't have any water.
Yeah.
I hate you so fucking much. There's another fun story of the Buggane that lived in a forest, and he would often just waylay travelers and steal their belongings and run off. One day, a traveler was walking through the forest when he was attacked by the Buggane, but the traveler fought back and managed to kill it.
Okay. Can you kill fae folk?
Yeah. It's a scary creature.
You just have to use iron or something? Can be
defeated. Yeah. I don't know. Well, with the Buggane, basically, if you ever encounter a Buggane, the best thing to do is build a fire and say what else? A Lord's Prayer.
Oh, okay.
There you go. These are said to be the only things that can scare away a Buggane.
I feel like Bugganes like hear somebody say the Lord's Prayer and then they like look at each other and they laugh and then they like rip their church roof off.
Yeah, exactly. The other little bits and abilities, it can also change size and shape. It can be very...
You can't just blow right over that. That's the craziest ability you can have.
I mean, it's
change
just
size and shape.
Yeah, that ability is put right next to it's also very noisy. Yeah.
You know, those extra traits.
No, to the point where, like, its screams can be heard from miles around.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Yeah, like, not all like.
Right. Dude, this thing sucks. Like, if I ran into one of these, that would fuck up my shit extremely.
Yeah. So that's the Buggane. And with it being a popular figure in Manx folklore, it's been featured in many stories and songs and poems over the many centuries. And the creature is also a popular tourist attraction. There are many places on the Isle of Man where it's said to live. Kind of think like Jersey Devil-ish.
Yeah, or the Mothman vibes.
Yeah. So there you go. There's your first little Ireland cryptid, the Buggane.
That's where more Manx than Irish, right?
Yeah. It's one of those ones that kind of like moved to Ireland. But regardless, that's your first one. That's our little dip.
Okay. So
how do you rate it? How do you rate this thing?
And before we start talking about fucking beer and potatoes again and break the hearts of every Irish person listening even further. Yeah. Let's say
it's a me. I'm Irish.
Let's see. No, let's see. Let's see if we can say on a scale of 1 to 5, how easy would it be to write like how good of a candidate is the Buggane to write like a heart wrenching poem about in the tradition of all the wonderful Irish literature and poetry that there is out there?
Right.
Yeah.
On a 1 to what?
5.
Oh, 1 to 5. Well, obviously, he can't find a good Catholic girl. So because he's scared of, you know,
prayer
and fire. Yeah. Wouldn't, you know, redheads out of the question.
There's a lot of fire.
No, he is a redhead.
Yeah, but like when he sees, do you think he has a mirror, bro? No.
That's
true. So when he sees like others of his own kind, so I would say Buggane is a 5 on the sadness scale because like this guy's life is misery.
See, but I would actually go the opposite direction. I was going to put him at like a 2 because this dude lives to just be a troll. Like he just screams and destroys things.
He's more silly. Like we love a poem. You said sad poem.
He's a moon.
Not fun drinking song.
That's true.
Hold on
but
now.
But that's exactly what I'm saying. Like he's more silly and I feel like there's room for poetry that's like kind of light and fun, but you don't remember those poems as much as the ones about the truly tragic things.
Green Eggs and Ham, I remember very well.
Well, Gain, I'll tear your roof off. There's a whole thing. I'm telling you.
I'm going to say 2 also. I'm going to go with a 2.
All right. I agree with you. All right. Next up on the cryptid list is the Far Darrig. FARR DARRIG.
Is that how it's pronounced? Far Darrig?
You know, that's how I'm pronouncing it. So
great. I'm sure we'll get it. Just guys, send us how it's really
did you
pronounced.
Know that we have a subreddit where you can correct us on all the mistakes that we make at r/ Illuminati pod. It's out there.
Just don't report my account for suicide. I won't have to ban you.
Hi, all of Ireland. Let us know how angry you are.
Yeah.
at Mathis Games.
Yeah. No. I have Irish mafia ties in Boston. I have family in the mafia.
I don't know that I like that.
So I got you, fam.
I got you, fam.
Yeah, that's what they say out in Boston.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, okay, so say. The Fardarig is a small, hairy creature that's said to live in the woods of Ireland.
Me.
It's said to be very shy and only appear to people who are lost or alone. Me. The Fardarig is also said to kind of just be harmless, but it can be a little mischievous.
Me.
The earliest known mention of the Fardarig, as far, again, all according to my own research, is somewhere in the 17th century. Again, it's much like the one before it, though, probably been around for a long time. And it's believed that the Fardarig is actually the Irish word, it comes from the Irish word fear darach, which means man of the oak.
Oh, so he's like some sort of fey creature.
I'm pretty sure these are all going to
most of these are going to be kind of fey in origin. You'll see. They said they mostly live in hollow trees and is often seen sitting on branches or just playing in the leaves. Very cute. It's said to be very good at climbing trees and can often be seen swinging from branch to branch, kind of like a monkey. It will come out only when it's very dark due to its shyness, and it will often hide behind trees and bushes. If it sees a human, it usually runs away. However, the Fardarig can also be a little mischievous. It's said that they like to play tricks on people, such as knocking over their hats or pulling on their hair. It's also said to like to steal food, and it's also been known to eat the contents of picnic baskets.
This is just a Pokemon
or Yogi the Bear. Yogi
the Bear of the Bougain. It's like a passive Bougain.
This is like if the Bougain
a picnic basket.
Yeah, if the Bougain like didn't do cocaine or something.
Hey, Bougain, yeah. Is that a picnic basket?
Hey, boo boo.
But that seems to be the extent of its mischievousness. It doesn't really actively harm anybody. It just kind of like teases them and spooks them maybe a little bit. It's never known to have hurt anyone, at least in stories that I found. And it's a relatively popular figure within Irish folklore. It's been featured in many stories, songs, poems, much like the Bougain. And the creature is also another populous tourist attraction, as there are many places in Ireland where this thing supposedly lives.
What do you do when you like go? Like, how do you legend trip?
I don't know. I'm saying, like, you know, there are cryptid hunters out there, you know, and there's a lot of shows like Lost Legends and like all these other things that go to these places and probably make them touristy for people like us if we didn't have a show about it.
Right.
And we just wanted to go and, you know, go see it for ourselves. The thing is usually the size of a child, long hair, dark hair, beard, extremely hairy, much like the Bougain.
These guys are so similar. These guys are like, one is like a go-getter and one is like procrastinator.
Yeah. The other thing, like if you ever come across one, the theory is like if you ever see one before it gets to toy with you, literally just like pay attention to it. It hates to be noticed. Like, make it known that you see it, and it'll usually run off.
This is me,
just
dude.
Like, look at it.
This is me. I don't want to see anyone.
Make loud noises, and it usually runs away from loud noises as well.
Yeah, I don't want anything to happen at all. Ever. All. Yeah.
You know, this one, for me, in the poem scale, is more of like a 4.
This one, like, only after learning about the Bougain am I like, this guy's tragic. Because it's like, imagine if you're, like, the dude who's, like, on your parents' couch, like a stoner, you like had some things going for you, but you kind of let him go by. But your brother is like really successful and he's out there and he's like into crypto really deep. And he's talking like Chet Hanks, white boy summer bullshit.
Sure.
He's out there, you know, like that's the Bougain. And this guy's the couch guy. Right. And so for me, that's a little bit more tragic. I'm going to bump him up to a 3.
You know, this guy,
Fargarn's a 3 for me.
I don't know. He seems kind of like a silly goof to me. He has less weaknesses as well. So I'm going to say a 2.
Yeah, the fire weakness is big, but, you know, I don't know. It doesn't stop Martian Manhunter that much.
Okay, on to the next one.
That's where I lost you guys on the Martian Manhunter?
I just don't know DC that.
It has the word Martian in it, man.
I guess that's true. He's a manhunter. All right, next up on the list. Oh god. All right, so I wrote down how to pronounce this thing because I don't understand how to pronounce it otherwise. I'm going to copy paste it for you boys just so you see the word I'm looking at. There you go. That's pronounced Garajibui. The Garajibui.
Garajibui.
This thing is, unlike the past two, not so small. He's a giant in Irish folklore. It's said to be a benevolent giant who lives in the Wicklow Mountains, and he's often depicted as being very tall and strong with golden hair and a beard. It's a Nordic. They didn't know they were dealing with a Nordic at the time, but it's
you
a
think
Nordic.
It's alien. It's space.
Yeah, it's an alien. Right.
Well, obviously. I mean, that's the logical thing here.
Right, obviously. The earliest known mention of the Garigi buoy is somewhere in the 17th century. Again, we don't know where exactly it truly started, but these words, they thought to come from Garidich, meaning giant, and buoy, meaning yellow or golden. So basically its name translates to like golden giant or yellow giant. There are lots of stories about this guy. In some stories, he's a helpful giant who helps travelers and farmers. But in other stories, he's a mischievous giant who plays tricks on people. However, he's always portrayed as being he's almost always portrayed between the two of them, though, as usually being kind and gentle. He's got like a little mischievous side. One of the most famous stories about this giant is a story of how he helped a group of travelers who were lost in the Wicklow Mountains. The travelers were so grateful to the giant for helping them that they built a stone cairn in his honor out in the Wicklow Mountains. The Garibui is a popular figure still amongst many. There's no tourist attractions other than the Wicklow Mountains that I'm aware of, and I'm not sure it's really touristy for him particularly. But he's said to be so tall, he can be seen from miles around. Obviously very strong and can lift boulders with ease. He's also a skilled hunter, and he often brings food back to whatever village he's either protecting or staying at. And he's a kind and generous giant, always helping those who usually need help and those who are in need. Again, like getting lost in the mountains and stuff.
Okay.
And that's about it for the Garibui giant.
That is Zack Snyder's Aquaman.
Wait, what?
What?
Can you elaborate for me?
Have you seen the Snyder Cut?
God, no.
This man literally just said, I don't know DC. And you were like, you know what that's like?
I'm just saying.
Zack Snyder's Aquaman.
He's like,
I would never watch a 4.5 hour movie.
He just helps.
Probably
he just,
minimally
he like,
different.
He just like, they made him a sweater. I don't know. They sing to him.
A sweater?
I don't know. He jumps
what?
In.
Is this, what?
All right. So in the movie Aquaman, it wasn't Aquaman. No,
it's in the Snyder Cut.
It's in the Snyder Cut. Yeah,
it's in Justice
right.
League. He's
in Justice League, he has a whole village that loves his ass and like kind of sings. Yeah,
he's kind of like
Batman throws him into the wall or whatever. It's like
it is that.
Yeah, he's living like the easy life, kind of like amongst the people. He's almost like what Lex Luthor would be mad at Superman about, like making the people that work with him like less strong. You know what I mean? Like because he's so strong and he can just do all the work that they need to learn how to do. He kind of makes them into kind of like. He like domesticates them a little bit.
Domesticated.
See, because he's a golden haired giant, I thought Thor was a closer.
But Thor is like the size of a man. Like Thor is like a giant compared to me, like a weedy little scrubbin bubbin. But when you say giant, I'm thinking like a big, huge, almost like deity like creature that like from Black and White when you used to send your like monster to town. Right. You know what I'm talking about? That's the vibe here. That's how I feel. That's how I'm seeing it. I don't know.
I feel like he's in terms of like poem, he's a one because people love him.
Is he clothed?
There's no sad, heart-wrenching poem you could write about him, I feel like, because he kind of just seems like he loves life. He loves helping people. People love him. They made a statue cairn in his honor.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. This is a one unless, here's the thing though. It's a one unless you could sell me on a 5 poem about how he's so happy, but really inside he's depressed. That'd be the saddest poem of all.
Or consider this. I'm with you guys. One, because he's just too, it's too fresh. It's like, he's like Santa all the time. But for number one question, is he naked?
No.
Okay, cool. Good. Next.
Why does he feel the need to cover up?
I don't know. Maybe he's just modest. Maybe he's like
got
us.
Those 17th century Irish Catholic morals.
Yeah.
I got
pants on right now for sure. Definitely. Definitely.
God, I hope so.
The thing that's going to make it into a 5 is if like the Gaston type character comes and like shoots him in the heart and kills it.
Oh, don't say it. Not
you know
like
what I mean?
This.
And then the whole town's like sad and they're like singing a song about their dead friend. Then it's a 5.
Sad. That's sad.
Yeah.
I'm saying at a 1.
Yeah.
I think
if that's off the table, 1.
I didn't see anything about that when I did my research. So I'm going to go with he's a 1.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's fair.
All right. This next one I can pronounce. This one I can see being a little bit more tragic than the one prior. This one is the Amadan Mór. This is a figure in Irish and Scottish Gaelic folklore. And it's said to be another giant, but unlike our dear friend from prior, this one is known to be a fool and often the butt of many jokes. He is also known as the Great Fool or the Fool of the Mounds. You know, he's just a giant who's a fucking idiot, apparently. The earliest known mention of the Amadan Mór is around the 17th century. This is like his name translates meaning Amadan fool, Mór great. So literally great fool. His name means he's just
a big idiot.
The big fucking idiot. Yeah. Like just wearing your name is big moron.
I already feel bad for him.
You know that thing about how you treat people stupid and you make them stupid?
I don't know. That's how, you know, maybe that's what happened.
Think about that when you name your mythical beasts.
In the stories, he's often sometimes portrayed as a harmless fool who's very easily tricked. But there are some stories where he's also a mischievous fool who plays tricks on people. But he's always, again, regardless of his mischievousness, even those stories are treated as like this fucking idiot, this moron of a giant. He barely got away. He barely succeeded in what he was trying to do. I got his powers listed out. You ready? He's very tall and strong. That's it. Those are his powers.
Like Thor.
He's tall and strong and fooled by people. That's his other power.
Yeah, like Marvel's Thor.
You know?
Yeah.
Kinda. Because he's like, because Thor is like, in the MCU anyway, he's a big moron. He's just a stupid fool.
He's a, what do you call him?
He didn't start that way, poor guy.
A golden retriever?
Well, Thor 1 was rough.
Thor 2 is pretty rough.
Thor 2 was double rough.
Yeah. But
double rough.
Neither of those things are this guy. This guy, I mean, he's in the lightest sense, he's Thor, but in another sense, he just seems to be like a cosmic joke on himself.
Yeah. I mean, in even deeper, like a little bit of a deeper cut, he's like, he's in several Irish folk narratives. He's sometimes the leader, he's a sometime leader of the fairy host in these narratives or poems. The fool of the fairy mounds palaces rather is what he's mostly known for. But there are times where he is like leading fairies in some of the poems, but the reason he's greatly feared is because he may administer the fairy stroke upon you. Let me give you the fairy stroke real quick.
The fact that you said administer the fairy,
he hit it with like the fairy stroke.
Administer the fairy stroke.
Hit it with like, that. Whoa. Yeah.
Even maybe it is a pleasurable thing. Either, no matter what, it causes paralysis, crippling of the person, or sometimes death.
What does he stroke you with?
He's most active in June, and I don't know what he strokes you. He gives you the fairy stroke.
You have a stroke, but it's called
like
a fairy stroke,
basically. And if that stroke causes like paralysis, a crippling of some sort, die.
All right.
It's because this guy, Amadan, gave you the fairy stroke. That's what it was.
Fairy stroke.
I know. I love saying it like that. Yeah.
Like the Harlem shake a little, you know, checks out.
Yeah, so just a little bit extra there. Just a little bit more to give you a taste of what his mischievousness can be like. It's pretty rough. So on a 1 to 5, is he more tragic? Because most stories, he's just a fool. But or is he less tragic? Because in the times that he's not, he's given people fairy strokes.
If I'm writing a story about someone getting a fairy stroke, does that count?
Or, no, because then that's a tragic story about the person getting the fairy stroke, not about the person, the giant giving the fairy stroke.
This guy just seems.
If you type in fairy stroke on like Pornhub, do you think something's going to come up?
I'm positive.
I wouldn't do that.
I would do that. I would just see what happens.
No, I'm all right.
It's curious. Is Alex checking?
No, I'm.
Okay, we got to rate him. We got
to
rate
him. I'm having trouble trying to like.
I'm going to put him at a 3.
I can't even almost like grok what this dude's vibe is. You know what I mean? Like he's kind of a lovable fool, but he also leads fairies and he can give you a stroke if at his will.
He's no Titania. That's for sure.
He seems more dangerous and scary. Like I would be afraid to write a poem about him.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. Like a 3. I guess. I feel non-committal. I'm puzzled by
this. That's where I sat. I said three as well.
Solid two. This is a solid two.
I can see that though. Like I can see a two being appropriate for this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a weird one, man. He's a very, very strange little giant. It's like a weird, like, I don't know, the giant. I wish we saw some giants walking around in Ireland right now. It would make the place look way cooler.
I think that there are like some sightings of some sort of like tall man, like some tall gray man.
Some tall man. Well, we did see, remember that TikTok thing that popped up? That guy who was filming back when the three things crashed and he saw that like giant human and then he kind of like vanished off TikTok and it was all really weird.
Yeah, was that Ireland?
No, I don't think so.
That was weird, actually, yeah.
But I'm just saying, similar idea. All right.
I think giants are out there.
The next cryptid. Some might know this one. The Pooka.
I've heard this.
Okay.
Yeah, I've heard this name.
P-O-O-K-A, also spelled P-U with an accent mark, C-A.
P-U.
This thing, the Pooka, is a shape-shifting trickster. A shape-shifting trickster spirit, my apologies, of Celtic folklore, that usually takes the form of some sort of domestic animal or a human with telltale animal features like large ears, extra little furry, or maybe even a tail they try to hide. It is said to be the descendant of the Tuatha De Danann, who are the ancient gods and goddesses of Ireland.
Oh, that's kind of cool. So they're like, yeah, just the like
Tuatha
a little
De Danann,
like a little leftover fart goblin.
Yeah.
Children of the forest.
Yeah, yeah. He's kind of like a little fart goblin of leftover god powers.
I love the
Pooka. Like that.
The Pooka is well known for its cunning and wile and is often said to enjoy playing tricks on humans. It can be benevolent or malevolent depending on its mood. It can be kind of a moody little cryptid. And in some stories, it's just a helpful spirit that guards travelers or helps farmers with their work on the farm. Dude, imagine if a Pooka just walked up onto the farm, grabbed a hose, like, I'm going to help you out today, and just starts fucking helping you.
I would never fucking tell anyone, and I would just ride this gravy train all the way to the bank.
You might even be curious if you're going insane or not.
No.
I love that, though. But in other stories where it's mischievous creature that just, like, plays tricks on people, sometimes it'll, like, steal things off the farm, for instance. Other times it might steal your food. Again, just little mischievous tricks. You're going to notice in a lot of these fairies and folklore of Ireland, a lot of stealing food themes, a lot of food kind of disappearing. And I feel like there's a historical reason as to why that would be the case.
It makes me frustrated when someone takes food off of my plate in general.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine it's frustrating as well if someone like a little Pooka showed up and took your potatoes without asking.
Like when a monkey comes and he takes my cigarette or whatever and like runs away. You know, like that's
what
I'm just saying, like, you know, in real life, like I can think of like the closest you can imagine to like a fairy coming and taking your stuff is like maybe a monkey coming and taking your sandwich or a seagull coming and taking your burger out of your hands when you're about to eat it. I feel like, I don't know, like
I've never once worried about monkeys taking anything of mine.
But well, I mean,
not once.
Were you ever in a place that's like silly with monkeys?
I mean, yeah, a few times, but that's my own story.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, I can see it. I'm just saying, like, little bastards that take your food. That's like the first thing I would think of as like what a little goblin boy would do. Like, as many goblin boys as there are, they're all taking
little
food.
Little bastards that take your food.
If you're curious what a Pooka looks like, there are a lot of different drawings of them. But the most common one that kind of like in terms of what it looks like is let me give you a picture real quick. And Dean can edit out the awkward silence because it's almost like a jackalope in a weird way.
I love the one on Wikipedia. Have you seen that one?
Oh, the one with just like the little, like, a little.
It says, in his own proper character, yes, however, yes. Pooka has a sufficiently grotesque elfish aspect, and he just fucking looks like this.
Yes. I wasn't going to use that picture because that tells you nothing.
This looks like shit. This looks like his name is Dip Dip. It looks like his name is like.
to describe this listener,
it looks like a shadow puppet.
Yeah, it looks like one of those paper shadow puppets that you would do a performance with in like 13th century Japan. Yeah. It has no features. It except it has eyes and a mouth that goes. Meow.
Yeah, it's just a little. Meow. It doesn't even have arms. I'm not sure it has two legs. It's viewed in.
I don't know either.
It's viewed in profile. It looks like an L with a fucking drinky bird head on.
He's grotesquely elfish.
Looks like it was drawn by fucking John Lennon. I don't even know what the fuck's going on.
Look at the link I sent you for a more artistic interpretation of these things.
Oh shit. yeah, this thing looks awesome. This thing looks like it could like fly the Millennium Falcon with Han Solo.
He really does. I love. Yeah,
it's yeah, that looks awesome.
Yeah, he's a much cooler looking dude.
Like if a rabbit and a bat man, like a bat demon, like a gargoyle and a rabbit mixed together, maybe that's what this one is that you sent.
Yeah. Well, the thing about it is, like I said earlier, it can shapeshift. Some of the forms it's known to take are horse, donkey, goat, dog, cat, hare, and like I said earlier, sometimes even a human. And it's often said to have fiery manes and a mane of tangled hair when it takes animal shapes.
A rabbit mixed with a lemur with dragonfly wings.
Yeah. It's a weird looking thing.
Yeah.
It's said to live in the mountains, forests, and moors of Ireland and is most active at night, often seen lurking on the edges of roads and fields. The Pooka is another popular figure among Irish folklore, mentioned in some famous Irish writers' works like W.B. Yeats and James Joyce. They've had little bits about them. The history of the Pooka is not super well documented, but it is believed to have originated in Celtic mythology. And much like the other ones, 17th century somewhere is like where the first stories started popping up that we have records of. There's a few stories well known about the Pooka. There's the Pooka of Knocknashiga. This story tells of a Pooka who haunts the hills of Knocknashiga in County Wicklow. The Pooka is said to have the ability to change its shape and is often appears as a horse or a goat in this particular story and is said to be a mischievous one that plays tricks on people. Then there's the Pooka of Sleeve Bloom Mountains. This story tells of a Pooka who lives in these mountains in the county Lowoy.
All this sounds completely accurate.
Yeah.
I can't say these names.
We're going to issue a real apology to the entire country.
I apologize to the Irish people. Even though I am 50% your blood, I apologize greatly. The Pooka is said to be a benevolent creature on this story that helps the travelers and helps protect the lands. Again, it can help you with your farmland if it fucking feels like it. And sometimes is seen in poems as a guardian spirit of the mountains. The last one I have is the Pooka of Beren. And this story tells of a Pooka who lives in Beren, the county in County Clare. And the Pooka is said to have said to be a shapeshifter that can take on the form of a human here and ends up going to town just to play tricks on people. It goes into town to just fuck around with them and then leaves.
Yeah.
It's also known to take in a few stories in the area, a shape of a horse and like take the place of somebody else's horse. It just doesn't obey them. Yeah. It literally just fucks
with
you.
It's like Mr. Mixia Spitlick type stuff.
Yeah,
like
that's an interesting
Rumpelstiltskin vibes, right? Like,
yeah.
He's like, oh, this is going to be a fun little fuck up. I'm just going to do this shitty thing for no reason because it's for my jollies.
There's a bunch of different like stories, but there's one that's like about a guy who his name was Sean went into a bar and there was a Pooka already there smiling and waiting for him. The Pooka bar. Yes. Oh, my God. If there's not a bar in Ireland called the Pooka bar
and it's like a hookah bar
fucking up. And it's like, yeah, that'd be hilarious.
The Pooka bar
and then cosplaying like Pookas come out and give you some stuff to smoke.
Yeah.
But basically, like, he walks into the bar, the Pooka's waiting for him, smiling. He's like, hi, Sean, I've been waiting for you. And Sean's very confused.
Poor Sean.
He says he knows he's a good man and he wants to help him. And when he asks how, the Pooka says he's going to give him anything he wants. Money, power, fame, all that stuff. But Sean knew the Pooka was a trickster and simply said, I don't want anything from you. And with that, the Pooka simply said, you're making a mistake, and disappeared.
And that's the story?
That's really just
the Did Sean like die?
No, he lives on. He goes He's happy. Fine. He lives on. The Pooka just left him around.
You know what?
Around.
That would
He
fuck
left him with
me.
An ominous, I'm always watching you line, but like.
That would fuck with me. Know. I like, to be
that
real.
Would fuck
like,
with me too.
If I saw it.
But like in a good way or a bad way. Like sometimes.
Not in a good way.
Well, according to that the story, Sean head. Never saw the Pooka ever again. That's all.
That's like walking through a spider web for the rest of your life. That's
yeah,
you're never going to be sure it's not there. You know what I mean?
So yeah, on the tragic poem scale, the Pooka is an asshole. It seems like occasionally a good guy.
I would rate him high. Like, I would rate him high.
You can give him high. Why? Because he's like the fart of the gods.
Yeah, that part, I think. And the way that he interacts with our lives compared to how gods interacted with our lives. Like There's something tragic about that, right? Like, there's something like the march of modern life, you know, like, I don't know. There's something about the times change. The time. Yep.
I know that song.
Yeah.
So what's the scale? What are you ranking?
I'm going to put about a 4.
Okay. 4. That's higher than I would go. I think I would stick at a 3 with this guy, not because I'm indecisive, but he's kind of an asshole, even if he is the farts of a god left over.
Yeah, I think because of that, it's a 5.
Wow, okay.
I think the whole thing, it's a very, if you think about it, dude's just sad. Like, he's
taking it out in the wrong way.
Yeah, he's taking, like, his trolliness, his anger, is because he's taking out his, like, really bad life on people.
He's just taking out his life. All right, so we got a pretty tragic guy. I can see it. I can see it. All right. This next one I picked specifically for you, Jesse. This one here is known as the Lenan Shi. I want you to look up the, I'm going to send you a link.
Oh, this sounds familiar.
Okay. The Lenan, are you sure it's not like Lenan Shi?
I literally have a pronunciation around things that I don't know. So I'm pronouncing it as I'm supposed to.
Yeah, no, I mean, this, she checks out.
This is, oh, I know why, because this is from Shin Megami Tensei.
Oh my God, okay. Yeah. Well, she's also known as the Banshee, with capital B, like the Banshee, or the Fairy Queen. And she's a female fairy in Irish folklore, said to be a beautiful woman who seduces young men and artists. This is exactly Jesse, giving them great inspiration and creativity. However, it comes at a cost. That cost is she also slowly drains your life force, causing you to waste away and die young.
Oh, so marriage.
Good God.
Rodney Dangerfield over here.
This feels like almost like a metaphor for young creative people who are like died early on in their lives for numbers of reasons.
Yeah, it's like a muse, some sort of this muse takes the...
It's like the Irish version of the like sea captain's wife kind of feeling.
She's a stone cold hottie in every one of these illustrations. Oh,
absolutely,
so.
Dude. I would absolutely ruin my life for her.
And a pretty good mid-game summon or whatever you want to call it, demon, Shin Megami Tensei 5.
Fair.
If you played Shin Megami Tensei 5, it's pretty good. Pretty fun. Just saying, if you like hardcore Japanese RPGs, give it a shot.
A breakdown of her name is simply Gaelic words meaning Lenan means sweetheart or lover, and Sid, or she rather, means fairy. So very, very straightforward, like most of the names here. And like I said, she's also known as the Banshee, which is a word of Irish origin that means woman of the fairy mound. So not Banshee in the way we now know it, but more of its original meaning a lady of the fairy mound. Again, fairy queen.
Yeah.
That's why I think that's why they capitalize the B in the Banshee when referring to the Lenan Shi.
This one's like a 5 for sure. Like I'm going to say you could go ahead and finish, but this is like a fucking Sandman story already.
Yeah, she's a 5er.
She's a 10 for me.
Calm down over here.
Well, the Lenan Shi is said to live in the other world, a parallel realm that exists alongside our own, and she is often seen as a muse, inspiring artists and musicians with her beauty and grace. However, the danger of their life force being drained away when she does so is the trade-off for such things. There are many stories around her. One story tells of a young poet that was seduced by the Lenan Shi. She gave him great inspiration, and he wrote some of his best poetry while under her spell. However, she also drained his life force, and this poor artist died very young. Another story tells of a young musician who was also seduced and, very similar to the artist, gave him some of the greatest musical skills they had ever known and became famous very quickly due to his talent gifted to him by the Lenan Shi, but much like the one before it, died extremely young due to the spell that he was under.
This like legit might be a Sandman, actually, now that I think about it.
I haven't read Sandman, so I don't know.
Yeah, it's really in that vibe.
Yeah. She's kind of like a complex character, way more complex than most of the other ones we've covered today, in that she's beautiful but dangerous, representing kind of like a dark side to creativity.
She's much more of a thematically complex creature.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, some look at it as like a reminder that inspiration can come at a price, or at least those who seek it must be careful not to like lose themselves in the process.
Yeah. There's a reason writers have trouble, you know, in life.
Again, like the rest, with her particularly, we don't really know where her origin is. She's thought to have originated within Celtic mythology, but we don't really have a year. Again, like most things, when the written records began in the 16th and 17th century, that's where we have the first references to her. But before then, we don't really fucking know. So there's a I'm curious where you would throw her on the scale. I know Alex said 5'10", but yeah, I think I said it at five as well. She's easily like one of those, like just. You can do so much with her character.
It was made to write a heart-wrenching poem about.
Let me give you a full story about her and we'll move on.
Yeah.
One day, Miriam was walking in the woods when she came across a beautiful woman. The woman, dressed in green, had long, flowing hair, and Merriman was immediately smitten with her, and they began to talk. The woman told Miriam that she was, eventually told her, rather, that she was Lanan Shi, and that she would give this him great inspiration for his poetry. Miriam agreed to meet with her again, and they began a very secret relationship. So he would quietly go out into the woods and meet with her. Lanan Shi gave Miriam great inspiration for his poetry, as she promised, and he wrote some of his best works during this time. But he noticed that he began to waste away, slowly but surely. Lanan Shi was draining his life force, whether she knew it or not, and he knew that he would not have long to live. Miriam did eventually die young, but his poetry lived on. His most famous work, The Midnight Court, is a satirical poem about the Irish legal system. The poem is still read and studied today and is a testament to the power of the Lanan Shi. She's also known as AOC of the Fairies, is a race of supernatural beings in Irish mythology and folklore. She just kind of, her influence and tentacles spread
Queen of the Fairies,
far
yeah.
and wide. I like her a lot. She's one of my favorite ones.
Really neat.
Like a bajillion.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a bajillion stories and little details about her you could easily go, like, lose yourself in.
Very romantic, yeah.
Yeah, very romantic. So I had a couple other stories about her, but, you know, we don't really need to worry about that. Let's skip. I had, like, three stories about her, because there's just, like, so many. So this one is another one I think a lot of people will recognize. This is known as, these are known as the Fomorians.
That sounds like some Star Trek shit.
The Fomorians. I'm gonna just like
it that looks sounds like beyond the ice wall kind of shit.
yeah. These are supposedly a supernatural race in Irish mythology who are often portrayed as hostile and monstrous beings. Originally, they were said to come from under the sea or the earth, and later they were portrayed as sea raiders and giants. They're enemies of Ireland's first settlers and opponents to the Tuatha De Danann, the other supernatural that we talked about in a previous cryptid. The Tuatha De Danann defeat the Fomorians in the Battle of Mag Turid. This has been likened to other Indo-European myths of a war between gods and giants, such as the Aesir and Vanir in Norse mythology, and the Olympians and Titans in Greek mythology. This is like Ireland's version of that.
Interesting. Yeah.
And it's really cool because you play, you know, God of War lately, Aesir and Vanir, you know, that's like the core of
the same vibes, yeah.
The Ragnarok right now. The earliest known mention of the Fomorians is actually way back in the 10th century. However, it's likely that, much like everything else, it went back even further than that. They're likely just stories passed by word that eventually made it to paper. There are many stories of them, and in some stories, they're a race of giants who are feared by the people of Ireland. But in others, they're a race of, like I said, sea creatures who attack ships and coastal settlements, raiding them for food and people. However, they are always portrayed as hostile and monstrous. There is no two sides to this cryptid, unlike literally every other one that we've talked about today. These are pure evil. And again, the story of the Battle of Mog, I imagine is how you say it. In this story, the Fomorians are led by Balor, a giant with a single evil eye.
Balor. That sounds familiar,
too. The Tuatha De Danann are led by Lug, L-U-G-H, a skilled warrior and magician. And the battle is long and bloody, but in the end, the Tuatha De Danann are victorious. Balor is killed, and the Fomorians defeated.
This is crazy. I didn't really know anything about this.
Balor is the thing from Game of Thrones.
Very Game of Thrones-y in a way. Yeah. A little bit about them. tall and strong, with some being described as having one eye or one arm. They're often depicted as being ugly. They are said to be skilled in magic and warfare and are often associated with the sea and the underworld. To me, these things came about likely because of like losing ships at sea. Maybe water travel is becoming more common. Sure. There's a story of a fisherman who encountered a Fomorian. There was a time the fisherman named Fionn Mac Cumhale, C-U-M-H-A-I-L-L. He was a skilled fisherman and was known for his strength and courage. And one day when Fionn was fishing off the coast of Ireland, he saw a large creature in the water. The creature was tall and had only a single eye. Fionn knew that this must be a Fomorian. So the Fomorian saw Fionn and swam towards him. Fionn was scared, but he knew that he had to fight. He drew his sword, prepared to face this thing, and the Fomorian attacked him. But Fionn was too quick for the Fomorian. He dodged his attacks and struck him with his sword, and the Fomorian fell to the ground dead. Fionn had defeated the Fomorian, but knew that this was not the end. There were many more Fomorians out there, and they would be looking for revenge on his lost people. So, you know, like, it's an interesting story. I don't know, like, just be careful of it.
It's just badass is what it is. It's
yeah, they're like, very just like a badass creature.
This is another five. This could be like an epic poem.
Really? You think these are a five?
This could be like the
it's
Iliad.
It's supposed to be a heart-wrenching epic, I thought.
Yeah, like, this could be all the romance tales happening at once. Like, this could be the Iliad. Mm, okay. This could be, you know what I mean? This could be a big epic.
Okay, I can see it. I can see it. I know we've done seven. I have a couple more, but we may cut it short because we're already at an hour. Jesse, what about you? Where are you rating this thing?
You know, this one is... There's something there. There's something clearly there, but
sure.
You know what? I'm going to say middle of the road, three.
Three? Okay. I'm going to go two. I don't know if I really see a sad epic about this
thing. I'm pure five.
I know you are.
It's like Achilles getting his little heel bopped.
The thing about like the sadness scale is it's rough because the best sadness is one where it's like, you know, going back to Happy Giant. He doesn't seem like he'd be the sad one, but you could write a really sad tale about how he's happy on the outside and sad. Right. And that'd be the worst one of all. It'd be so sad.
I'm kind of here for it. Yeah. You know, you're there. All right.
It's romantic.
This next one is called the Kalya, even though it's spelt Kaleach. That's how it's spelt, in case you want to look it up.
Kaleach.
It's pronounced Kalya.
Oh,
This is a divine hag or ancestor figure in Gaelic mythology associated with the creation of the landscape and with the weather, especially storms in winter are attached to her. The word Kalya simply means old woman in Irish and Scottish Gaelic, but it's come to be specifically applied to this mythological feature. The earliest recorded literature of the Kalya is found in 9th century Irish text, quote, known as The Lament of the Old Woman of Beare. That's fucking, I would love to read, like, see the original papers of that thing. Just my history, like, oh, that'd be so cool to see. This was written by an unknown author in the Yellow Book of Lacan, and this is the first tale that specifically names the Kalya as she is known today. In this story, the Kalya is a powerful and fearsome woman who is said to have created the mountains, lakes, and rivers of Ireland. She is also said to be the guardian of the seasons and is responsible for bringing winter to the land. The Kalya is often depicted as an old woman with long white hair and a bent back, like she's got like a bent, like off back. She looks old and decrepit. She is sometimes said to have one eye, and she is often associated with crows and other birds of prey. The Kalya is a complex, multifaceted figure, and her stories vary from region to region. However, she is always a powerful and important figure in Gaelic mythology, no matter where you're reading about her. And in some ways, is continued to be celebrated and honored today. Some of the most common myths, she's said to have created the mountains of Scotland by throwing rocks at her enemies. She is said, I love that. She's said to have the power to control the weather and is often blamed for storms and bad weather. She is said to be the guardian of the seasons, as I said earlier. She is said to have a magical cauldron that can grant people wishes. And she's said to have a pet crow that helps her to spy on people. Very Odin-esque.
That's sick. All of this is sick to me.
Yeah, there are some places where they believe that Kalya was said to have lived and left her mark. Ben Nevis, which is the tallest mountain in the British Isles. The Cuilin Hills, or on the Isle of Skye. the Pops of Jura, the off the west coast of Scotland, the Calliagh Stones on the Isle of Lewis, and the Calliagh Well in County Kerry, Ireland. So yeah, she's really kind of like heavy impact on this world, on their culture rather. Where do your thoughts fall in terms of her? In the scale, like how do you scale this one? Because she's so much more than like a lot of the other ones.
Yeah, this is a toughie.
I think it's like the almost like the what I read this as is like how important like the old women, like the idea of old hardened people is, especially old women, and how important they are. They've created literally like nature, life itself. Like, you know, I don't know. There's something kind of
I
like that
kind of beautiful about that. I think from that, you know, you're saying it's multifaceted. I love that it's like a fearsome character as well as a tragic character. I don't know. I think this one is as complex as the Lenin, the Fairy Queen. I'm not going to even disrespect it by trying to pronounce it. Yeah, Lenan Sheed. Like, this to me is just as interesting. And, you know, for every way that Lenan Sheed is praised for beauty and like inspiration, this is like the like, you know, the opposite. It's like stark reality. I don't know. I think it's nice. I think I like this. This is a five.
I'm with you. I'm a five on this.
It's a five 100%. For me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's, there's a lot here. I think it could make a really great story. Five. Easy. Okay. Easy five.
I think that'll be probably our winner across the board. So before we end, you know, let's not end on her. Let's end on something very small because it got a little bit of a video game connection that I really love. And that's why I want to cover it. But there's
Mario.
Not a lot known. Yep, you got it. These are known as the Sluach. You like that?
Sluach.
Like, Sluach. Yeah.
Sounds like
these
Klingon.
Are a class of malevolent spirit in Irish and Scottish folklore, believed to be the restless souls of individuals barred from all of the afterlives, heaven, hell, and other world where the fairies live. Thus, these spirits would gather like a flock of birds and prey upon the living, always arriving from the west. Seen as troublesome and destructive, the Sluach would try and steal the dying souls of innocents to add to their mass. Thus, in days of old, windows facing west were often closed to try and prevent the spirits from coming in and abducting the souls of those that might be on their deathbed. Which is kind of a weird,
that's
weird
kind little of, thing. Yeah, kind of alien-esque.
Thus, the Sluach are made up of tormented souls of the innocent who have been dragged away by the restless dead to share in their eternal torment, a fate that would doubtlessly strike dread into the hearts of those who believed in such things in the superstitious past. These guys are not to be confused with the concept of the Unseelie Court, though there's a lot of similarities between them and the Wild Hunt. They're not the same. And the video game connection for them specifically is in the Legacy of Kain video game series.
Oh, yeah.
The Sluach are among the enemies that Raziel encounters in the Spectral Realm.
They're a scavenging, animalistic
creature that prey on souls and usually prefer to flee from Raziel. Little guys who steal souls, that's what they are.
That's a good little PlayStation. That should be back. Those are good games.
I went through the whole series a couple of years ago.
The top-down one is really good, and then I never played the third one, but I liked the second one, yeah.
Yeah, Soul Reaver, Blood Omen 2, Soul Reaver 2. But Sluach, I don't know, they're not tragic. They're a one on my scale. They're just in some ways, they're the most tragic because they are just made up of innocent souls kidnapped by them. So I'm going to put it at a four.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's not as open and shut as the Hag or the Fairy Queen. It's not as like iconic as that, but I like it. So yeah, I think I'm in like maybe 3.5, 4. I like it.
Jesse, rate us out of here. Really? I'm surprised. I thought maybe because, you know, it's got some similarities to The Wild Hunt. It's in Legacy of Kain. You might
like, I get it. It's very like, again, we're not talking about like cool. We're talking about sad story. No, you set innocence. The rules.
Well, Alex set the rules. Hello. They're like all innocent souls. They're all innocent souls that got kidnapped.
Right, isn't but this isn't tragic? About the souls. This is about the creature.
The creature is the souls, though.
Yeah, the creature is the souls.
But do they know?
The files are in the computer. What?
I don't know if they really know.
Do they know, though? Are they aware of what they are?
Good question. I don't have an answer.
That's what I'm saying. Like, it's a different thing. You're it's right. like, you know, Mathis, you're playing Baldur's Gate.
Yeah.
Are the Mind Flayers the person they were before, dude?
You know, good question. I don't know.
That's why I'm asking.
It is a good question. Yeah, it is a good question.
I'll say three, right down the middle, just to be safe.
Animorphs, are Yerk hosts culpable?
Good question.
That's it for our cryptid episodes of Ireland, everybody.
Ireland gets a 5 out of 5. Legacy of Kain gets a 5 out of 5. Animorphs gets a 5 out of 5. You guys get a 5 out of 5 listening. Patreon.com/ChinaMilanatiPod gets 5 out of 5. I'm going to give Jesse a 5 out of 5.
Aww,
I'm going to give Mathis a 5 out of 5. I'm going to give Mathis' cat 5 out of 5. What cat is that?
It's starting
to
seem like this is worth less and less each time you say it.
Oliver gets 5 out of 5. It's a big, it's just good vibes. It's good vibes to everybody today. 5 out of 5 vibes.
5 vibes.
Come to our show.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Yeah,
come to our
show in LA.
What is it? ChinaMilanatiPod.com?
The link will be in the description below. It might be a Ticketmaster link this time around.
Oh, so. Big timing.
Watch out.
Get ready for those hidden fees, baby.
Oh, awesome. Thank you guys so much for listening. We're off to do a mini-sode at patreon.com/ChinaMilanatiPod. We appreciate your support. We love you. Goodbye.
Bye. Oh,
and Alex, or Jesse, it's a Jesse episode next week, everybody.
Anyway, me and my wife were sitting outside indulging on our porch one night, enjoying ourselves. I needed to go to the bathroom, so I stepped back inside, and after a few moments, I hear my wife go, "Holy shit, get out of here." So I quickly dash back outside, and she's looking up at the sky in awe. I look up too, and there's a perfect line of dozen lights traveling across the sky.